What are we listening to, Bill?
This would
generic
be
generic rock.
Okay. Well, this brings me to my first trivia point of this this edition.
Yeah.
Originally, Bryan Singer wanted Radiohead to do all the music for Fight Club.
Okay.
So there's that that we don't have to look forward to.
That's good.
Welcome in, everybody, to
That
Movie Show. Mike Went, Liam Stryker, super producer Bill Neville behind the board.
Back. Hello.
Back.
Amazing. So many assignments Bill has had. He's a man in demand.
Man. Yeah. He's going Never on ends. Assignment after this. Yeah,
realistically, right after we just cannot get our shit together.
No.
The three of us just can't get in a room at the same time, except for once a month.
Yeah, it's very fun.
But this is a good show for all three of us to be in, because before we get into Fight Club, which is what we're covering this week on the New Age Insiders Entertainment edition of That Movie Show, we have a very exciting announcement.
Yeah, because as you could tell, that was very specific as to which movie show that was.
There are now two That Movie Shows.
So it's those movie shows?
Our movie shows, your movie shows. Yes, we have a very exciting announcement, and without further ado, I'm just going to throw it out there. We're going legit.
Yeah.
We have been offered and have accepted.
Because we're for sale.
Yes, exactly. We are to the highest. We are whores.
Oh, yeah.
In a manner of speaking. And we are going to put That Movie Show, a radio-friendly version.
Yep.
Sorry for those of you who like our cursing. A radio-friendly version of That Movie Show on North Shore 104.9 here in Boston.
Yeah.
It is very exciting. Starting next Saturday morning at 9 a.m., we are going to be the go-to movie guys for North Shore 104.9. So you're going to get this plus. It's going to be like a bonus episode every week.
No, it's
we always do these fun little bonus episodes. Usually they're watch-alongs, but it's going to be much shorter than that.
Yeah, it's going to be 2.5 hours.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be more like news and reviews of current stuff.
Right.
You know, like
stuff that's going on.
I have a great article about the Avengers Endgame that we're going to talk about this week. So you have that to look forward to.
Yeah.
So North Shore 104.9, you will be getting That Movie Show. Mike Went, Liam Stryker, Bill Neville. There we go. We are going legit.
Boom.
Sponsors and everything.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
That's amazing.
Imagine that.
It's really exciting.
See what happens.
We're doing it.
You see what happens when you bring.
You're doing it, Peter. You're doing it.
The force of Mike Went into your production.
Yeah, I know.
We go legit real quick.
Real quick.
Because I needs to get paid.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
So congratulations to us.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the champagne will be popped later.
Barry Horowitz, myself. I'm going to pat myself on the back there. And so it's going to be very cool. So every week, Saturday morning, 9:30. And then what's very cool is we're going to actually be able to share those shows with you. So I'm guessing Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, we'll find the 30-minute version of That Movie Show on this podcast stream, because we're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
There
we
go.
Whatever we want.
Whatever, man. I'll do what I want.
I'll do what I want.
It's my damn network, pal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
His damn network, my damn show. Let's fucking do this shit. And let's get into Fight Club.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
A movie about people who did whatever they wanted.
Exactly. Rule number one of Fight Club, don't talk about Fight Club.
All right, and we're done.
That's the show. But no, we're going to break rule number one and two of Fight Club, and we're going to talk all about it.
Also, that's the one. Mm. That's the one joke about not talking about Fight Club. We can't do it again.
No, absolutely not. It's done.
It's done.
It can only be done right at the beginning, because then we start talking about Fight Club, and if we do it again, we're just hacks. And being professional radio broadcasters now.
That we are, we can't be hacks. Can I still, yes, you're right.
Can you still what?
I was going to say, can I still wear a t-shirt?
Absolutely.
Great. It's
that's
radio.
That's one of the reasons I got into the radio business is no dress code.
Non-branded t-shirt, though.
Exactly.
Unless they're paying us.
Star Wars!
Are we getting Lucasfilm or Disney money from that?
God, we gotta get Disney money. Oh my God. Between Star Wars and talking about Avengers on our first radio show, we gotta start getting some Disney money.
Right?
I hope so.
I think we parlay this into a Disney podcast we've been talking about for about a year. Thank you, Bill. So let's get into the business of Fight Club. It was released... What the hell? Jesus, like four release dates on this bitch. All right. It was released October 15th, 1999 in the United States.
For the first time.
September, Germany. So, or November in Germany.
Venice. Ooh. So specific.
And the crazy part is that was just Venice Beach.
Right, brother. it's coming up on its 20th anniversary this year, which is why we're covering it. Which if you watched, I believe it was, or listened to the Replacements podcast. That was when we kind of decided this, literally by picking up our phones and saying, 1999 movie releases.
Yeah.
scroll, and you go, oh, Fight Club, let's do that.
Let's do Fight Club.
We are not professional. Anyway.
Again, now that we're getting paid, we can be more professional.
We can. Now that we're getting paid, we can be more professional about it. We can actually plan shit out and do, like, you know, show prep.
Ooh,
and what's that?
I don't know. I pulled up four articles and emailed it to you, like, 20 minutes ago. Anyway, it had a budget of $63 million, brought back $100.9 million at the box office. I'm guessing many, many more in video rentals and DVD sales. It was directed by David Fincher. It was written by Jim Earls. That's a hell of a name. UHLS. Earls?
Earls.
James Earls. Jim Earls. Whatever.
James Earls Jones.
Based on the book by Chuck
Pagano.
Woolery. P-A-L-A-H-N-I-U-K.
Palahniuk.
Called Fight Club.
Yeah. Sure.
Fuck's sake. It starred Brad Pitt, Edward Norton, Helena Bonham Carter. Why do I do the names in live time? Meatloaf, Jared Leto. Music was by the Dust Brothers, not Radiohead.
Not Meatloaf.
Not Meatloaf either. It was... this is Jack's movie review.
Oh, fun.
There you go. That's another one I can knock off my list of references that we're just going to knock off the whole show. It's an awesome movie.
It is an awesome movie.
It's a movie you can rewatch many, many times and never get sick of.
Right. It's both high quality, also feels like it exists.
Surprisingly long movie.
It is a surprisingly long movie because you think about the story beats.
It's an hour and 19 minutes.
Right. You think about
2 hours and 19 minutes.
Right.
Excuse me.
And you think about the story beats and...
It flies by.
It flies by because it's like, well, this happens, and then that happens, and then that happens. And it's like, all of this movie should have taken place in like 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But
this should have been a short film or like a Netflix documentary type of
thing.
Right.
Yeah. Where it's like, it should be like about $120.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's a lot longer.
Tight 90 minutes.
Yeah. I love the concept and the build of this movie. It's very well constructed because... This is one of the movies, and we'll get to it. The cinematic twists at the end
still work today.
That still works, but it's great because you don't see it coming.
Right.
But
that's the whole point of a twist.
Right. Right. Well,
there's
a second part to that. The second part is
while we're on the twist, it's a twist. When I said it still works, like I'm watching it, and I'm completely engrossed in the story. And it's not that I forget how it ends,
right?
But I don't give a shit because it's so entertaining. Whereas stuff like The Sixth Sense, you're like, eh.
Well, that's the problem that I was going to say with The Sixth Sense.
Dead.
You watch Fight Club and...
Sorry, spoiler of that 20-year-old movie.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but it's like you watch Fight Club and the twist at the end, it still works when you watch the movie again.
Sure.
And when you watch it again, you're like, wow, yeah. Even though you know it's coming... It's like, wow, this movie is so smart and works so well.
Yes.
That you're watching it the second time from a different perspective, mm-hmm. and the movie still works. Whereas The Sixth Sense, you watch it the second time, and you go, who the fuck let that ghost in?
Like, my lights are very hot, by the way. I just looked at myself on camera.
Yeah, well, that's because we need money to get new lights and cameras.
Luckily, we're professionals.
Yes.
We're going to keep hammering that home.
Yeah, we are. The Sixth Sense, it's like, so Bruce Willis is a ghost knocked on that door. And the mom just let him in?
There was a lot of holes that never got filled in Sixth Sense.
Right.
But that's not. This isn't a Sixth Sense review.
No.
This is Jack's review.
This is Jack's review about it. So it's really good because it starts from the point of view of Ed Norton, who you assume his name is Jack, but...
He's credited as a narrator.
But he's credited as the narrator because you never actually hear his name until the end of the movie.
There was an unproduced sequel... that I believe revealed his name is Sebastian.
Okay.
So
Sebastian.
There is a moment where Helena Bonham Carter. God damn.
There
it.
You go.
Thank you. There's a moment in the movie.
Her
knowing his name is Sebastian, there's a moment where I believe she started to say it and she was cut off.
Okay.
Like it was one of those interruption type of things.
Yeah, like,
where I'm like, I'm looking for it. Like, does anybody ever call him by a single name? And there was one where she was pissed and they were yelling at each other. And she, I might be in the bus scene where he's sending her off at the end.
Yeah.
But she tries to say a name and it sounded.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
She didn't even get as far as the B, but it sounded like the SC part of Sebastian.
The biggest thing that I think is a very appreciative as like from a writing standpoint with this movie is when dialogue doesn't seem forced. Right. Mm-hmm. And you have a bunch of characters in this movie that all know each other. And so because they all know each other, I don't ever refer to you by your name. Right? Like,
I love that.
You know what I mean? Like,
you don't need the excessive Liam.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because we're just talking because we know each other's names.
Right. I know your name. You know my name. And I know that I'm talking to you.
We don't excessively have to refer to each other by a name because everybody in the room knows everybody's name.
Right. Exactly. So you just start talking. And that's how this movie feels.
But his name was Robert Paulson.
But again.
So many references.
But again, that comes as natural because of what's happening. You know what I mean? Like, nobody talks about their names. Everybody knows each other. So it just works really, really well.
Right.
The Blu-ray DVD is amazing.
Yes, it is.
In terms of...
It is, but it's also one of the most infuriating menus to navigate. There is no play all button.
Yeah.
On anything. And there is a shitload of supplemental material. A lot of behind the scenes, a lot of deleted scenes, a lot of documentary stuff, and no play all button on any of them.
Yeah.
It's as infuriating.
Yeah.
It almost like almost on purpose.
Right.
Which I think they did as, you know, last week when we were at my house and I popped in the DVD.
Yeah.
What was the first thing that popped up?
It was what was the movie? Never Been Kissed?
Yes. So I haven't popped in this Fight Club Blu-ray in probably as long as I've owned it because I upgraded from a DVD.
Right.
And I don't remember when I upgraded.
Yeah, right.
So I put in the disc, and it, you know, slides in, does its thing, does its loading, and all of a sudden, a perfectly animated Blu-ray menu of Drew Barrymore's romantic comedy Never Been Kissed. I almost shit my pants because I thought it was a defective disc that I cannot return because it's so old.
Yeah, right.
It glitches in a few seconds and turns into a Fight Club, but I'm like, God damn it, they are brilliant.
They're so good.
And I feel that the navigation is part of their trying to fuck with your mind type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, they want you to be infuriated by this movie.
Oh, yeah.
They want you to be, you know...
Like, on edge.
On edge, really aggravated. Yeah. It's putting you in the headspace of Edward Norton, where it's constantly like... twitching,
yeah,
for lack of a better term. Like, he's always doing one of these. Like, it's a nervous, I just quit smoking, but my thumb is still flicking an imaginary cigarette type of thing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just gnawing at the back of your brain.
Mm.
It's great.
And it's wonderful.
It is.
It's wonderful.
It is wonderful. So, basically, Edward Norton's character is a automobile, like, he's like a recall specialist or something. So, like, when something blows up, he's the guy that, like, has to go determine whether or not it needs to be recalled or not.
Would it be a claims adjuster?
Maybe.
I mean, he's definitely the guy that, yes, as you said,
when
something goes wrong, when there's an accident.
Right. He's the guy that determines whether or not.
He determines whether the cost is more efficient to settle out of court.
Right.
Or actually have a factory recall installed.
Right.
You know, and if the something, there was a lot of math in the first few minutes of the movie, which I just was like.
And it really sets up the materialistic world that we currently live in. You know,
sure.
I think the message
apartment was literally had literal animated tags on it with prices.
Right. And so it really kind of fits with the whole central motif of this movie where everything is so materialistic.
Yep.
Clearly everything starts to break down because he starts to have insomnia. Right.
And very much so.
And so he starts losing his grip on reality because he stops feeling, right? He starts to become a sociopath.
Right.
And he ends up going to that, what was it, the testicular cancer place, was that first?
He can't sleep. He needs something. He needs an outlet.
Right. And so
surprisingly didn't immediately turn to drugs or alcohol.
Right. He goes
instead goes to
a support group.
AA.
Yeah.
And NA.
Yeah.
And every other A you could possibly think of. All these support groups.
And so he ends up starting to do that just because.
Because it's helping him sleep.
It's helping him sleep because he's getting the emotional release of crying or finding that people's lives are shittier than his.
Right.
Like, it's maybe a combination of the two.
Which also makes him an equally horrible person.
Oh, yeah. He's a terrible person.
He's feeding off the fact that these people have worse lives than him.
Right, exactly.
And that's helping him sleep at night.
Right.
How fucked up is that?
Right. And so he meets Tyler Durden, a soap salesman, on a plane.
On a plane.
And it's very interesting because knowing how this movie ends, he is talking to himself.
Oh, yeah.
And so it starts right there. And it's funny because there's nothing that initiates the psychotic break. That's the most interesting part about this movie. Well, is
he
that
woke up from a dream. He was dreaming, and he dreamed of the plane exploding in the middle of air, and he was smiling.
Right.
As people were which was a great fucking sequence, by the way.
Yes,
I mean, watching it, it damn near broke my surround system.
Right. But even then, there's no real inciting incident. Like, the inciting incident...
Hey, look, I've talked to myself many times. I've lost arguments to myself many times. I'm not judging this fucking dude
right,
at all.
Right, no. But the inciting incident comes after, right?
Right, right.
Where the apartment blows up.
Right.
He gets... And he calls Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You figure his apartment blowing up should have been the inciting incident, where it's like he breaks because his apartment blew up,
mm-hmm.
talks to himself on the plane, then when he gets back to realize I don't have anything, calls Tyler.
Sure.
Right? Like, that's the interesting part about this movie.
Well, he created an imaginary friend.
Right, he did. But again, I go back to there wasn't an inciting incident, unless maybe Marla showing up at the...
Well, she broke him again.
Right, so maybe...
Because her showing up to all his support groups is what made him not be able to sleep again.
Right, so maybe that's the inciting incident?
It could be.
You know, that, like, that's what causes the psychotic break?
She's a very interesting character, especially upon rewatching.
Right.
Before we move on to Marla, there was a line that Brad Pitt had on the plane that, after seeing this movie to this day, I cannot not think about.
Right.
It was when he was getting up to pass by Edward Norton, and he just kind of mumbles under his breath, do I give him the cock or the ass?
Yeah.
And every time I walk past somebody, I'm like, I hear Tyler Durden saying, cock or ass? And I'm like, fuck!
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
This is a choice we make every day.
Yeah.
Multiple times a day.
Yeah.
But Marla Singer is a very interesting character upon rewatching, because the first time you're watching, you think she is one of the worst human beings possible.
Right.
However, once you know
right.
what is happening in the movie, and you now put yourself in her headspace, she might be the most patient human being
right.
in the entire
world.
Yeah,
right. Where she's putting up with a mentally crazy person.
She comes over, bangs this guy.
Right.
And, like, moments later...
He's bipolar.
He's yelling, get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah.
As if it just never happened.
Right. And it's crazy that she's willing to put up with that guy.
Yeah.
It's bananas.
That's a special kind of crazy.
Right. So he ends up going and having a drink with Tyler.
At a bar.
And they end up talking about, like, the entire, you know, consumer product and how that world.
Man.
And the man and all this other stuff. So basically they end up just deciding that they want to get back to, like, animalistic instincts, and they're going to just hit each other. And
so kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of. So basically they're leaving the bar, and Edward Norton passive aggressively is like, I guess I'll go look for a hotel. And Tyler is like,
no, just ask.
Just fucking ask, man.
Yeah, right.
Three pitchers of beer and you can't even ask. You called me for a reason. It's because you need a place to live.
Right.
Just ask. And Edward Norton still is being passive aggressive.
Right.
He's like, well, would it be a problem? He's like, is it a problem to fucking ask?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Can I stay? Yeah, fuck it. Come on.
Right.
Three steps later, I need you to hit me as hard as you can. Great fucking line.
Yeah, right.
Very, very quotable line. And they go in the whole back and forth of what do you mean hit me? He's like, well, I've never been in a fight. Just fucking hit me. I love the fact that he was pocketing two beers, by the way.
Yeah, right.
He puts those down. And yeah, and we get the first of many fights in this movie.
Right. And it's interesting because...
He punches him in the fucking ear.
Yeah, right. The concept of the Fight Club in the beginning makes a lot of sense.
Which, by the way, was a mistake.
Yeah.
Brian Singer, the director, basically told Edward Norton, just legit hit him.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to actually punch Brad Pitt in the face.
Yeah.
Because it's Brad Pitt.
Yeah, right.
You're going to cost millions of dollars if you punch Brad Pitt in the face.
Yes, that's true.
So he boxed his ear.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
Which prompted Brad Pitt to legitimately wince in pain and yell, "You hit me in the fucking ear."
Yeah, right.
That's an actual just outtake that they left in the fucking movie, and it became one of those famous scenes that I think made the trailer. I couldn't really hear the trailer, but I think it made the trailer.
Right. And and so then basically they...
I'm sorry, David Fincher. I've been saying Brian Singer.
Oh, yeah.
I've been saying Brian Singer. I'm sorry to David Fincher that I've mistaken him for Brian Singer. I don't know why that was on the brain. Maybe it was the other show that I'm planning to talk about, but
maybe
David Fincher.
It's also on me because I should have caught that.
A much better director.
A much better. Yeah.
Who doesn't need 14 more hours of extended cuts to make a movie?
A decent movie.
Yeah. He does it right in the first try.
Yeah.
David Fincher. My apologies.
Yes. Right. And so they start the fight clubs, right? And so it feels like it's just an outlet for a bunch of grown men who are kind of in the same shoes as Edward Norton, right?
Yep.
They're trapped in the dead-end jobs. You know, it's funny because it's in that speech. It's all laid out in the speech that Edward Norton gives, or Tyler Durden gives, where he's like, we are the middle ground. We are the children of the middle ground of history, or however it's phrased, where it's like, we don't have any great war, or we don't have any great thing to define us, and we're just lost to time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like so interesting to just be like, yeah, you're right. This time is just going to go, and nobody's going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting. And so it gives these men purpose.
Yep.
And so then basically that's when things start to get a little wonky, because people start showing up at the dilapidated house. And like a fraternity, they're just standing out front.
Oh, that's way into the movie.
Is that way into the movie?
Oh, my God, yeah. That's Project Mayhem. We've bypassed everything.
No, them just standing out in front of the house trying to get in?
Yeah, that's Project Mayhem.
That's before Project Mayhem.
That's literally Project Mayhem. That's the start of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What am I missing?
Yeah, you're way at the end. They did all of the Fight Club stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't do any of that yet. Bob hadn't even shown up at Fight Club yet.
No, that's right.
You know, because that happens.
Yeah, that's right.
Fun fact about Bob, Meatloaf had lost a shitload of weight, so they had to put a 100-pound fat suit on him, which is why he's the only one, despite one of Tyler's rules, that doesn't take his shirt off in Fight Club.
Yeah, right.
Because also, one of the more controversial decisions was there was two fat suits made, because they made the first one with nipples.
Okay.
The second one without, because they didn't know if the studio would allow nipples or not.
Okay. Interesting.
The studio had a lot of problems with this movie.
Of course they did.
They had a lot of problems because there was a lot of decisions that had to be made, then changed. Marla, there's one of the most polarizing lines in the entire movie from Marla Singer after they have sex, was originally changed.
Okay.
And the studio hated the second line more. So her and Brad Pitt just finished having sex.
Yes, of course.
And she rolls over, says a line. Studio sees the dailies.
Yeah,
you need to change that line. David Fincher goes to them, I will change the line. However, we're going to put in writing that whatever I change it to, you cannot change.
Yeah, right.
Delivers the next line. They wanted it changed back. He refused because he had it in writing.
Yeah.
Those lines. Which is why we also do a radio show that this will not air.
Yeah, right.
So the first one was, she rolls over and says, I want you to have my abortion.
Yes.
They made him change it.
Yep.
The line that they were forced to keep, she rolls over after sex and says, God, I haven't been fucked like that since grade school.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, my.
The funny part was, Helena Bonham Carter didn't really get it because in England, grade school isn't a thing.
Yeah.
So she thought it was like college or something. She
disassociated from it.
She didn't get the line.
Yeah, she disassociated.
Until much, much later.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the studio had an uphill battle, to say the least, with Brian, what the fuck, David Fincher.
David Fincher, not Bryan Singer.
All over the place here.
Right. Yeah, so there's the scene where they're going to... They have homework assignments at Fight Club.
Mm-hmm.
They start there. You're going to pick a fight and you're going to lose.
Love that sequence.
Yeah.
Love that sequence for a number of reasons. And one of them is later on in one of the fight clubs, you see the car salesman,
right,
and the priest fighting.
Oh, yeah.
So they actually did recruit those guys into Fight Club.
That's fun.
So it was... And it was just clever as fuck.
Yeah.
The guy with the hose was like,
he
was
the best.
Literally, as the kids say, my spirit animal.
Yeah, right.
Just him standing there firing a hose at people, them getting pissed, and him just firing it back at them.
Yeah, right.
It's like, hey, man, you hit me with a hose.
Yeah.
The fuck?
Yeah.
And then he just keeps walking towards them.
Yeah.
Amazing, because you think about it, like, yeah. It probably would be pretty hard to just start a fight with somebody.
It would be.
People automatically think, oh, you just go to some, you know, shady dive bar and you'll get into a fight. But in general world America.
Right. Nobody wants to fight.
Like, if someone sprayed me with a hose, I don't know if we would get into an actual fist fight.
Right. It's very interesting. And it brings up, you know, points that are very interesting.
Points.
Points. So then from there... we have Edward Norton basically blackmail his boss.
Loved it.
And so he basically, they've decided that they need to start the next phase of Fight Club.
This was also one of many, again, on rewatching it. It's almost like it's such a good movie to rewatch because you find out the twist the first time,
right,
you watch it. There's so many hints.
Yeah.
That Tyler Durden doesn't exist.
Oh, absolutely.
This was one of them.
Yeah.
And especially the line, the narration line where Edward Norton says, this reminded me of my first fight with Tyler.
Right.
Because he was fighting himself.
Yeah, he was just punching himself.
There's a scene on the train, on the bus, excuse me.
Right.
The two of them are standing on the bus. Long haired guy bumps into Brad Pitt, then says, excuse me, before he bumps into Ed Norton.
Right.
Nobody acknowledges Brad Pitt.
Nobody does.
In this movie.
Right.
Which is bonkers upon reviewing.
Yeah, because that's the thing. You assume.
You don't see it the first time.
No, you don't see it. And it is all that sort of stuff.
It's very subliminal. And then the long-haired guy shows up in Fight Club.
Right.
They end up fighting him. But
yeah.
It's Ed Norton fighting him, not Brad Pitt.
Right. And so then going forward, you know, they... All of the plans go through. Like, he fights and kicks and screams with Tyler, but then submits to him.
Right, because it's his own thoughts.
Because it's his own thoughts. And so he
that's where we start Project Mayhem.
And now we started Project Mayhem.
Yes.
Which is the important part of this movie.
Right.
And so they basically decide that they're going to start making soap. Mm-hmm. And people are going to start living in the house.
Oh, he was always making soap. He met Tyler.
He met him as a soap salesman.
Soap salesman, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's where we get the lie scene with the burn.
The burn, yep.
The burn,
yep,
on the hand.
I love the line after they go and they get the bags of fat from the liposuction plant.
Yeah.
And they're like, we were selling these rich women their fat back to them.
Yeah, right.
Because they were making the soap out of their liposuction fat and then selling it back to them at boutique shops.
Yeah, it was
for
so
$20
funny.
A bar.
Yeah, it was so funny.
A bar of soap for $20. Bucks. There's people that pay that shit in real life.
I know. That's the whole point of this movie.
The fuck?
That's the whole point of this movie. And so they start to have an anti-corporate, anti-materialistic message. Which is basically just kind of the entire theme of this movie.
The funny thing is, about that anti-corporate thing, Starbucks was 100% cool with this movie, and there is a Starbucks coffee cup in nearly every scene of the movie.
Yeah.
The only thing they said is, you can't destroy our coffee bar at the end.
Yeah.
That's why it's generic coffee bar at the end when the ball crashes through it.
Right.
That was the only thing they wanted. They're like, you can use our, yeah,
yeah, use
absolutely
the cups.
Use it. So there's a coffee, Starbucks coffee in almost every shot, and according to David Fincher on the commentary track,
yep,
it's in every shot, but it's hidden. So if it's hidden, you don't know where exactly it is because it's fucking hidden. That's,
yeah,
the point,
right,
of hidden.
Yeah, right.
But the only caveat that Starbucks had
don't
was,
destroy our stuff.
Don't destroy our shop at the end.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yep, makes sense. Makes,
right,
makes a ton of sense.
Fair fucks of Starbucks.
And so, yeah. And so they start doing acts of vandalism, which is like lighthearted shenanigans at that point.
Kind of.
It escalates quickly.
Very quickly
to blowing up buildings.
It gets into the blowing up and taking people hostage right quick.
Yeah, real quick.
I mean, that whole the banquet thing and the fact that they're caterers.
Yeah.
First of all.
Yep.
And I love the line where he was like, and Tyler is in a class action lawsuit for the amount of urine in the lobster bisque.
Yeah, right.
Come on!
You know what's a really fun scene is when they're all leaving that banquet and they're all running out.
Yeah.
Meatloaf's pants fall down and you can see his fat suit.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll have to rewatch that.
Yeah,
I didn't catch that one.
Yeah, his pants fall down and you can see the fat suit.
That's
a good one. As he's pulling, he stumbles and like pulls them up.
So he's pulling a Bubba Ray Dudley and pulling his jocks up as he's running.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they continue to. They continue to plan. There's the car scene in the car,
mm-hmm.
which this is the biggest one when you rewatch it.
Go on.
It's Tyler Durden driving.
Yep.
Edward Norton in the passenger seat.
Correct.
And then three guys in the back that are just
terrified
lackeys.
Yep.
Right. Because.
But they can't say anything because
they're
the first rule of Project Mayhem is you don't ask questions, sir.
Yeah. Exactly. You don't ask questions, and it's just nuts because. Edward Norton and Tyler Durden are just arguing.
Arguing. Yeah.
Having a full-on argument.
Yep.
And so then finally, Tyler Durden stops driving while Edward Norton just says, put your hands on the wheel. Or it's, I forget exactly what he says, but he's basically like, you have to start driving.
He starts playing chicken with a Mack truck.
Right. And so then you watch the end of this movie and you get the twist. And then you watch that scene again, and if I'm the three people in the backseat of that car...
Pissing their pants.
Watching a person who I assume is already crazy because I'm in a cult, right? And I have to know I'm in a cult.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm watching my cult leader literally have an argument with himself.
Mm-hmm.
And not like, we should do this. I don't know. Maybe I'll do that. I don't know. It's straight on polar opposite opinions on what we should be doing at this moment.
Correct.
You're watching a psychopath having a conversation with himself. And then he's going to kill us until he saves us.
Kind of. Car still crashes the fuck out.
Oh, yeah.
It still flips all over the place.
Yeah, it drives off the road. It's bananas.
Fun little reference there. So earlier in the movie, when he was still the car guy.
Yeah.
That burned out car where they were kind of joking and laughing and saying, oh, this guy must have been fat as shit. Look at the fat burned to the seat and all that stuff. And the braces caught in the seat.
Yep.
Same car they're driving.
Oh, fun.
Yep. Same exact Lincoln.
That's fun.
Yep.
That's really fun. And so then.
Also, great line on the plane where he's telling the woman and she's like, what company you work for? One of the major ones.
Yeah.
Many people drive our cars.
Yeah. And so that's where things kind of take a nosedive for our relationship between Tyler and the narrator.
Yep.
Because now all of a sudden, Tyler's gone. Everything's gone. And the narrator is trying
Project
to find them.
Project Mayhem goes into full force.
Goes into full force. And everybody goes underground and everything is going bananas. And Tyler and Edward Norton is traveling from city to city. And he keeps talking about how he feels like he keeps missing it.
Right. So he finds a bunch of old flight tickets.
Yeah.
Plane tickets. And he starts following those plane tickets to all the cities.
Right.
But, of course, because he blackmailed his boss, he has all these flight vouchers. That's why he's doing all this for free in his boxer shorts.
Yeah.
As you do.
Yeah, as you do.
And, so he's just missing him, and he's running into people who are recognizing him.
Right.
You know, he goes to a restaurant in, like, Chicago or wherever the fuck.
And there's a bartender.
They're chanting, his name was Robert Paulson. Oh, yeah, because Bob died.
Yeah, Bob dies. Bob gets shot.
Right in the head.
Yeah, he did.
He did. And we learned that in Project Mayhem, people don't have names. But in death,
they do.
They do have names.
Yeah.
And his name was Robert Paulson. His name was Robert Paulson.
Yeah.
And his was Robert Paulson.
He would do anything. He would do anything for love, including everything that got him killed.
But he won't do that.
So
he's going around, and he finds the bartender who's all jacked up. By the way,
all jacked up. Look how that.
We're in a sweet halo.
Yeah, that dude got jacked up like 2 weeks prior.
And he's like, "You were here last week, sir. standing right there asking me these questions.
Yeah.
And I love it. He's like, are you sure this isn't a test?
Yeah, right.
No, it's not a fucking test.
Yeah, right. It's not a test.
And that's when he and that's when the guy says, you're Tyler Durden, sir.
Yeah.
Because he keeps asking him, who the fuck am I?
Yeah, who do you think I am?
And then, Total Recall.
Yeah, Total Recall, man. And it's awesome. He goes and he calls Marla.
Yep.
And basically Marla...
Because he put her on a bus.
Yeah. Not yet. He kicked her out. And that's when he calls her because she's like, what are you talking about? You love me, you hate me, you call me, you do this, all this stuff. And she calls him Tyler in that. And she goes, what's my name? And that's where she goes, Tyler Durden.
So maybe she never did. Maybe I just imagine she said the Sebastian thing.
No, because... Because
she called him Tyler throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, she calls him Tyler at least.
Maybe
then.
I fucked up on that one.
But then... That's when we get the revelation because Brad Pitt in the sexiest coat I've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
I love his coats in this movie.
I love his entire little monologue he does sitting in that hotel room chair.
Yeah.
You know, all the ways you want to be, that's me.
Yeah.
I talk the way you want to talk. I fuck the way you want to fuck. That whole thing, yeah. I'm like...
I look the way you want to look.
That is so awesome line of dialogue. Right. That is the greatest fucking line of dialogue.
Right. I also just love the concept where it's just like, yeah, that's exactly what would happen.
You watch Edward Norton kind of have a mental breakdown because they're sitting across from each other and he's like, come on, you got it. And he's flashing all the images that we already watched as Brad Pitt.
Right.
Now Edward Norton has replaced him, you know, the abducting the guy at the banquet, the Fight Club introduction, rule number one, the fight with himself, et cetera, et cetera. And finally, and Brad Pitt's like, you got it.
Yeah.
They are.
Right. We're doing it.
I'm you. Bingo.
Yeah. Right. And so then it's crazy because.
We have had liftoff.
Yeah. The crazy part is that, and this is where the movie gets kind of like extra bonkers,
mm-hmm.
because it's like, so can Brad Pitt take control of Edward Norton and like put him in the sunken place or something?
Basically, I mean, it's a split personality movie, definitely.
Yeah, because Edward Norton then blacks out from there, and and he wakes up, and now he's in control again,
ish.
Well, by in control, he's in control of his body.
His own body, yeah.
You know, which is weird because he then finds out that Tyler's plan to destroy all the credit card companies,
mm-hmm.
to basically set all of the debt back to zero.
Right.
Which, at the end of the day, not a bad plan.
No, I like that one. Let's go through with that.
Let's do that one.
Let's fuck off doing that movie show. Let's do Project Mayhem.
Yeah, let's just do it. Well, now we can't because it's on video. Bill, burn the tapes.
Done.
You're all... a part of Project Mayhem. Yeah. Now.
So burn the tapes.
You're all. Oh, what is that? Oh, that was Freddy Krueger. You're all my children now.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Yeah. Creepy. You are all children of Thanos.
There you go.
Go get the glove.
Where is the fucking glove?
It's upstairs.
Oh, God damn it.
Do you want it?
Not at the moment.
Okay. Not worth stalling the show.
We're on a live show here.
But he uncovers it and basically tries to warn the police,
mm-hmm.
and. Basically,
unfortunately, the cops are part of Project Mayhem.
Yeah, the real
two out of three, actually, because they send one to get coffee and he fucks off.
Yeah, the real question is like, if everybody's on board, are you just not the crazy one anymore?
Oh, he's very much the crazy one.
He's definitely the crazy one. But that's the everything about it doesn't seem terrible. Where it's like, look, we're gonna do domestic terrorism.
Yep.
But all of the people that worked in these buildings,
mm-hmm.
are our people. They left.
Buildings are vacant.
The buildings are empty.
Yep.
And we're just going to blow up these buildings.
No big deal.
No big deal. Like, we're going to control...
It was before 9/11.
It was.
You know?
Yeah, it was. But that's the thing. It's just like, yeah, these buildings are going to self-implode because we had demolition people come in and rig the buildings.
And we know how to build bombs because of soap.
And we know how to build...
Another fun fact. So, originally, in the movie, they shot Tyler telling Ed Norton the recipe... for nitroglycerin and how it gets there from soap.
Yeah.
However, it was too accurate.
Of course it was.
And literally, the FBI said you can't do this.
Yeah, right.
They sent it to like their consultant with the FBI.
Right. They're like,
and,
no.
And he's like, no, you literally just gave the accurate recipe for nitroglycerin. change it.
Yeah, right.
So they took like three ingredients out.
Yeah, right.
And ran as is.
Yeah, it's like
Google the rest of it, kids.
Yeah, right. You'll get it.
But yeah, so soap equals bombs.
Yeah, and they're going to blow
what
it
we've
up.
Established. And we have the great showdown in the garage with the van.
Yep.
Where and he is.
I love that. It's so goddamn funny, that entire sequence where he's fighting Brad Pitt.
One of my favorite Brad Pitt scenes ever.
Yeah, he's fighting Brad Pitt, and then it cuts to the security camera.
And he's fighting himself.
And he's fighting himself, and he's dragging himself yep. and throwing himself downstairs. It's great. Finally, they get in front of the van.
Yep.
And
which is full of nitroglycerin.
And then he straight up pulls out a gun and shoots at Brad Pitt.
Yep.
And Brad Pitt just screams at him.
It goes straight through.
Yeah, and just goes through the window.
Bullet hole in the window right behind Brad Pitt's head.
Right. It's so funny. And then, whoa!
You're shooting at your imaginary friend in front of a van full of nitroglycerin.
It's so funny. So goddamn
definitely,
funny.
Definitely a better, but close, but better delivery of this line than the one in Broken Arrow.
Yeah.
Where it's, would you please not shoot at the thermonuclear warheads?
Yeah.
Both great lines.
Yep, this one's better.
I like Brad Pitt a little better.
Well, it's also the
manic approach. Yeah. I love John Travolta's cool, but I love the manic approach.
Oh, absolutely. And so then Brad Pitt knocks out Edward Norton, and we wake up to him.
Of course he does.
Yeah, and of course.
The imaginary friend knocks out the real guy.
Yeah, of course.
As you do.
And so then we find him tied to the chair. And that's also the beginning of the movie.
You have to imagine at some point he blacks out, brings himself up 20 floors, and ties his own ass to a chair.
Yeah, right.
That's the fucked up part about it.
Yeah.
That happened.
Right.
In the context of this movie,
yeah.
Edward Norton at some point woke up in a blackout, so he's like,
yep.
Walking unconscious, almost sleepwalking, if you will.
Right.
Takes himself up 20 floors.
Right.
And ties himself to a chair.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. The weird thing is,
while not disarming himself.
Yeah, right. What's weird about it is that what was going to happen when the rest of the Project Mayhem people who found Tyler Durden, who thinks it's his own Tyler Durden,
right,
tied to a chair by himself.
Well, we kind of see part of that when they do show up and they don't, like, they all showed up because this,
yeah, right.
The original plan was to meet on that floor.
Yes.
Which is unsaid, but you can tell from what they're carrying.
Right.
The original plan was for the Project Mayhem guys to meet on this floor and watch the world burn. Because if you look, a couple of them are carrying chips and beer.
Yes, they are.
This
was the
in the abandoned house. They watch their work on the news, and they're passing around beers and stuff. Now they show up to actually watch it live.
Right, they're gonna watch it all blow up.
They're watching the 3D version of their work with beer and chips,
right. And
they're
Marla.
Seeing. Well, yeah, the other guy brought Marla.
That's true,
but. They're seeing their boss, who at that point had already shot himself in the face.
Right.
And they're like, what is happening?
Right. It's
what are we doing here? Exactly.
This is one of those movies I would love to watch a sequel of it, but not like from the characters that we followed in this one. I want the same events of the movie, just from Jared Leto's perspective. You know what I mean? Like, I want to watch this movie, but I want to watch him watch Edward Norton.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be a long movie. It can be like 20 minutes.
Sure. Well, it's just his part.
It's just his parts. Because it's like, I want to see this perspective of like, so like, we're going to go hang out. And like, Tyler's already there, man. It's going to be great. And
then that would be? That would be a great episode in a 10-part Netflix series of Fight Club.
Yeah. Yes.
The Jared Leto character.
Right.
That this is his story.
Right.
And his story is watching this fucking crazy person.
Yeah. Like,
who also beats him up because he gave him, in his eyes, he gave him accolades. Good job. And then later wants to kick his ass because of those accolades.
Yes.
Because that was what happened.
He wanted to destroy something beautiful.
What was the line? I am Jack's something
uncoiled rage.
No, it was because Tyler was accepting him. It was like a jealousy thing.
Oh, okay.
Because after they did the banquet thing and they kidnapped the guy in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Tyler was, you know, praising the Jared Leto.
Yeah.
And Edward Norton's watching this. And he said something. I am Jack's, like, something jealousy or something like that.
Right.
It was very adjective-y. But that's what that was. He was jealous that Tyler was doting on the pretty girl at the prom as opposed to him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now he's moved on to the new young model.
That's right.
And then as Jared Leto runs away, cut to Jared Leto's face being fucked up.
Yeah.
Royally fucked up.
Right. Oh, God. It's bananas. So then the entire building just collapses. All the buildings, all the credit card buildings. And it's one of the best lines when he looks at Marla with his face just being blown up, right? Because he shot himself in the head to kill Tyler.
Right.
Which I don't know how that works, but he...
It would work in his own head because because the plan was if he kills himself, Tyler dies.
Yeah, right.
Because he had already figured out that he was Tyler.
Yes,
but he couldn't control his split personality.
Right, so he killed
end it all. Yeah. Like, if I'm controlling all these wackos...
Right, I'm...
If I'm dead...
I can't.
But he can't even do that right.
No, and he...
Shoots the bullet out his cheek.
Right. But out of the back of Tyler's head.
Somehow, yeah.
Yeah, well, metaphorically.
We had to wrap it up.
Yeah, it's a metaphor.
It was the end of the movie. We had to wrap that shit up.
Yeah. And so he's holding, like, a paper towel to his face.
Hilarious.
And he sees
Goddamn
Marla.
Hilarious.
He sees Marla and just like, you met me at a very interesting time in my life.
Right.
Which is great.
I loved it. And her reaction to it was, because she came in all pissed off.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on? What the fuck? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And that would be the normal reaction when you're pissed off at somebody you've been sleeping with, and all of a sudden you walk in and half their face is blown out.
Yeah, right. It's interesting.
They're holding their face together by a paper towel. Yeah. Hey, want a beer?
Yeah. And they hold hands as the world collapses.
As the world burns, yeah.
It's very interesting. It's a very good movie. I mean,
loved it.
Obviously, this is a David Fincher film, so it fits with all of those type of movies.
Right.
Which is great because this feels like it belongs in the same world as Seven,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome.
Yeah.
And that would be an interesting prequel sequel situation.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you just have a weird interaction between Edward Norton and Brad Pitt as the detective.
Right.
Which, in Seven, does he get arrested for the murder of that guy? That's what happens at the end of that movie, right?
Which guy now?
Brad Pitt at the end of Seven.
Does Brad Pitt get arrested?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, or do they just let him go? Because they just let him go and murdered Kevin Spacey?
Look, they're in the desert.
Yeah, right.
You ever seen Casino?
Yeah, they'll come up with that.
A lot of holes in the fucking desert. A lot of problems are solved out in the desert. They're in the fucking desert.
That's
the only person that knows they're out there is the FedEx guy. He got his signature. He's gone.
Yeah, right.
He also delivered a head, so he's kind of an accomplice.
Yeah, that's true, too. Poor Gwyneth Paltrow.
Original casting choice was Russell Crowe for Tyler Durden.
Oh, that would have been terrible.
He met with the producers to discuss the part. However, Fincher really wanted Brad Pitt.
Right choice.
The producers were looking for something, and there was actually a lot of the producers were looking for this person, but David Fincher had his own idea.
Yeah, well, this
for example, Marla, the producer's choice was Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Weird.
Could have worked.
Could have worked, but worked.
Would have definitely been a different departure for her.
Yeah, it would have been.
You know, but ultimately, I think they went with the right
choice.
Brad Pitt was paid 7 times more than his co-stars.
Yeah, of course he was. He's Brad Pitt.
$17.5 million.
Yeah, of course.
Edward Norton, after coming off of People vs. Larry Flint, got $2.5 million.
Oh, wow.
So that's not even right, is it? My math's fucked up. But it says 17.5. I'm reading. I'm not doing math.
Yeah.
Today's not a math day. It's a reading day.
No, it's not a reading day. But
one of the fun point that's not right at all. My math is off, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bill, math, adult.
Can you explain that for me again?
17.5 is 7 times higher than 2.5.
It should be right.
Oh, fuck it. I'm all good. I'm good on that.
Yeah.
All right. The adult says it's good. It's good.
It's at least close.
Yeah, so it's close enough.
One of the fun facts, because I watched this also with the director's commentary on the Blu-ray. One of the facts that I laughed my balls off was they spent a considerable amount of time in the middle of the movie kind of ripping on Rosie O'Donnell.
Okay.
Because Rosie O'Donnell at the time was doing The View. It was The View, right? Whatever that show is where there's five women doing it.
Yeah, The View.
Yeah. It's now Sharon Osbourne's show, but she was on that show at the time. She went to a press screening I think the week before it came out, and hated it. Hated the movie. So she went on her show 2 days before its premiere and gave away the twist ending.
Ugh.
So Brad Pitt on the commentary is saying she's an unforgivable person.
Yeah.
I will never forgive her. She ruined the twist ending on national television.
Right.
Fuck her. And I'm like, and they, it went on. I don't have time to go into the whole thing, but it was like, I like the honesty in that. That's the type of director's commentary I like. You know what I mean? Where it's like, they're just like, here's our, we're the three guys hanging out watching a movie.
Because
it was Fincher, Norton, and Brad Pitt.
Right, which is what you want to just have them watch the movie and make comments
on it. Watch the movie, talk about it, stuff like
that. That's why the Arnold Schwarzenegger commentary tracks are so much fun.
Those are hilarious. We might have to do a watch along on the commentary tracks.
Yeah.
Because his Total Recall commentary track is epic.
Oh, it's bananas.
Go out of your way to watch that shit. It's literally a narration of the actions. Another fun fact out of the commentary track was that while in rehearsals, Brad Pitt and Edward Norton realized they had a common dislike for Volkswagen Beetles.
Okay.
Because they felt that the new Volkswagen Beetles represented like the corporate takeover of the 60s love era.
Yeah, right.
And so they made sure that when they're walking down the street smacking cars with baseball bats to set the alarms off, the last one is a Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah, makes sense.
There you go. How are you doing on time, Bill?
That's Fight Club.
Just over 50.
Oh, very good.
So that's Fight Club.
That's Fight Club.
Yeah, so...
I like it.
Yeah, let's get on out of here.
I like it.
Have you read the book?
No.
All right. So then we're not going to talk about
the book.
Have you? No.
Oh, okay.
There was like an English class in high school that had to read it.
My brother's into that. He reads all the movie books. He's read American Psycho, The Godfather, Jaws... Yeah. I think Casino was a book as well.
Probably.
All of those. He's got all those. I'm sure he's read this.
Yeah. Well, there was an English class in high school where they read this.
Uh-huh.
I was in the other one.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't read it.
Good story.
Yeah.
Good story. That's the type of shit you'll hear on the radio version. Professional broadcasters, everybody.
Yeah, we should have talked
about
that.
But that was Fight Club. That was a lot of fun. I really liked that movie. One of the better ones we've done. Coming up next week on the New Age Insiders Entertainment version of that movie show, the Lego Movie.
Yeah.
The original Lego Movie.
I love them all.
The sequel should be out now.
The sequel is out now.
Okay. So we are going to cover the original Lego Movie. Fun fact, own it, haven't seen it yet.
Oh, then you're going to be in for a treat.
Love it. I cannot wait. And of course, make sure you follow all of us on social media. Mike Went, Liam NAI, Bill Neville NAI. And be sure to check out our new radio show starting Saturday morning at 9 a.m. North Shore 104.9. It's a 30-minute radio version of that movie show.
Yeah.
Of course, newageinsiders.com for all our audio and video archives. We are on literally every podcast app.
All of them.
Every single podcast app.
So many podcast apps, we made up our own.
Are we on iHeart?
Yes.
We are, yes.
We are on iHeart, which I just saw launch the Ron Burgundy podcast, which I am very excited to listen to. It's going to be a train wreck.
Of course.
It's going to be an absolute train wreck, but I can't wait to listen to it on the ride home.
All right.
So tell your friends and be sure to tweet us, hashtag that movie show, with recommendations for what you want to hear. We got one today.
Oh.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Oh. So somebody on Twitter sent us this tweet asking, any chance you can review this masterpiece if I send it to you? And it is a picture of the DVD for Pinocchio's Revenge. It looks like a Chucky version of Pinocchio.
Yep. 100%.
So
yes.
What I tweeted back to him, and I actually included you, open up your goddamn Twitter, was, I believe the rule is, if you send it, we review it.
Yep, that's 100% the rule.
Liam will DM you and figure out where to send that DVD, and we will definitely review it.
We got to get a P.O. box.
We're going to have to get one.
Yeah.
Or you know what? Just shoot it up into the sky. We'll see it, babe.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.